Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.
What's up, everybody? This is the Sporting Edge. I'm here with Ethan Rosenzweig. They know him as Roz. And Roz, you know, football's over. A very sad time on the Sporting Edge because, you know, without football, we're a little lost. You know, I'm not a big basketball guy, but I made myself watch this week. I watched some NBA. I watched some college. I even watched a little high school. But we do have the MLB right around the corner. And that, you know, one of my specialties is the MLB. So I thought first, Roz, we take a look at the power rankings for this upcoming season.
Absolutely. And baseball is here, Xander. I know you're saying it's right around the corner, but pitchers and catchers had reported. Now Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo are taking batting practice. It looks great. I love a little trick by Greg Maddux. It looks great. I like seeing that green grass. I know they're in Arizona, and me and you are in Illinois and Ohio, where it's actually not too bad. 60 degrees here. I know it's 60 degrees by you as well, which is a little abnormal for this time in February, but it's very exciting. I think that the MLB is going to come back fast, and come back hot. I'm very excited for what's to come. And yeah, let's talk about the power rankings. We know who's number one. It's that young, beautiful blue team called the Chicago Cubs. What are you thinking about this season for them?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think they should be right there again. The one thing I worry about with the Cubs is the loss of Dexter Fowler. I can't stress enough how important of a piece he was to the team last year. I mean, I remember, you know, you saw him come back when they re-signed him at the beginning of the year, and you know he kind of just put that team into the next level. And when he was injured for a while, they actually struggled. You know, they struggled a lot. So him going to the Cardinals this year, I think that it'll be an interesting dynamic in the NL Central, because I don't think you can ever count out the Cardinals, no matter who is on that team. But, I mean, the Cubs should be back in it again. You know, they acquired John Jay. Hopefully Jason Hayward picks it up this year. I mean, you know, he played really well on defense last year, but the stick was just not there. You know, it wasn't there during the regular season. It wasn't there during the postseason. But, he did hold his weight in right field. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how Albert Almora plays this year, another young guy who contributed a lot to the team. But I think the Cubs should be there again. I mean, they've got a lot of talent. They've got a lot of great pitching, which is always the key to success. And that brings me to the next team on the list, the Cleveland Indians. You know, I think this team, if I had to make my personal rankings, I would put this team at number one right now, and here's why. You know, they were so close to winning the World Series without two of their best starting pitchers. I mean, you look at Carlos Carrasco and Danny Salazar, two pitchers I think who have some of the best stuff in the league. They just always have trouble staying healthy. And, you know, they got injured right before the end of the regular season. The Indians, that really set them back. But, I mean, this team fought long and hard to get to the World Series, and they blew a 3-1 lead. But these are two of the top 25 pitchers in the major leagues when they're healthy. You know, that's a big if and a big when. But, you know, they have possibly a healthy Michael Brantley coming back this year. If you remember, 2 years ago, that guy was an MVP candidate. You know, hit about .320 with 30 home runs. And, you know, you got Edwin Encarnacion over Mike Napoli at the DH. You get a full season of Andrew Miller, who I think is hands down. You know, Zach Britton is great, but I think overall value, Andrew Miller is the best relief pitcher in the league. this team is going to be really tough to beat. And I would not be surprised if we got a rematch in the World Series, but I think this Red Sox team is also going to be mighty tough with the acquisition of Chris Sale this year.
Yeah, so you hit on all the points I was looking to. I think Cleveland's getting back a bunch of players, not to mention they signed Edwin Encarnacion, like you mentioned, who's just a better player than Mike Napoli is. And all the hype coming into the baseball season at this point through the winter meetings and everything was the Red Sox now having their Cy Young Award pitcher being their third in the rotation behind Sale and Price. I think this Cleveland team is just as scary as that Boston team. And I think the hitting on both teams are spectacular. You still got Mookie Betts. You got Jackie Bradley Jr. still with the Red Sox and everything. So that's going to be a dynamic, what I hope to be, ALCS. After that point, like you said, there's nothing too scary in the NL for me, if being a Cubs fan and all. I know the Dodgers are who they are. They always have Clayton Kershaw, so that's something to worry about. And the Nationals are hopefully going to stay healthy and be good. There was a nice article, Xander, I don't know if you were able to catch, with the title, Did Joe Maddon Ruin Bryce Harper? Going back to the whole walk scheme.
I didn't read the article, but I know exactly what you're talking about. I mean, I remember those graphics kept coming up every week that Bryce Harper struggled after that series against the Cubs. It was always coming back to that, you know, him getting walked so much, and then did that just kind of ruin his rhythm for the entire year? And I mean, everything else aside, I would have to say yes. I mean, he was absolutely on a tear before that Cubs series, and after that, I mean, you can look at the numbers. He just was nowhere near the hitter that we saw last year, the guy who won the MVP. So, you know what? This is an interesting year because, I mean, this is a point in the career where you can either transcend and become one of the greats in the league, which I would still consider him one of the great players in the league, but by no means is he the best player. I think that still belongs to Mike Trout far and away. And I would put some other guys up there too. I mean, if I was starting a team from scratch, I might even take Manny Machado over Bryce Harper. You know, and there's a couple other guys who, you know, really have had a great 3-year run, and Bryce Harper just really didn't do that last year.
Yeah, you know, he is an MVP. He's won an MVP. Has Manny Machado had an MVP yet? Because I was hoping you'd say a name like Chris Bryant.
Overall careers now. You know, I know he won the MVP, but he hit 250 last year.
That's fair. And like you said, we need a bounce back here from Bryce Harper if he wants to be considered one of those greats. And I never argue this with you because I think Mike Trout is the most exceptional player in baseball. And as a guy who continues to get robbed of MVP awards, I know he won it this past season, but I don't know a year where he didn't deserve it since he's been in the league. I think it's really a bummer that he's still hanging out in Anaheim. I think there's going to be a little bit of a move, Xander. I think he's going to be changing ships this season. I think it's time for a rebuild in Anaheim, and it can't happen with Mike Trout on the roster. It has to happen through prospect gain that they can get for trading him.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing about the Angels is I thought they had a legitimate shot last year to maybe be a 500 ball club, but the injuries to the starting rotation absolutely destroyed them. I mean, I think there was a point in the year where four of the guys in the opening, you know, the starting rotation were injured or on injured reserve, and you can't win like that. I mean, the Angels weren't very good to begin with, but, you know, guys like Garrett Richards and, you know, can't even think of their names, but they had some young guys who might have been able to, you know, have a Colorado Rockies-esque season. I mean, the Rockies have a couple young pitchers, you know, John Gray, you know, guys that, you know, in a couple of years that could be a dangerous playoff team. But this Angels team, you know, besides Mike Trout, you know, you get Albert Pujols, who is on the wrong side of his career, still putting up some numbers, but
hitting the ball out of the park.
He is hitting the ball out of the park. And then you got Yanel Escobar, who is a good player, but kind of a journeyman third baseman. And I also really like Cole Calhoun. Those are a couple guys you can build around, Calhoun and Trout. But they need to get the pitching. I mean, no team is anything without good starting pitching. So it's tough to see where the Angels are going from here. But we'll keep talking about the Angels. We got some other teams near the bottom of the list we need to cover. But that's all the time we got right now for the Sporting Edge. If you missed the show, you know where to find us, libertytalk.fm, and we will be back after the break. What's up, everybody? We're back at the Sporting Edge. I'm here with Roz. And Roz, before the break, we were talking a little bit about the Angels and, you know, kind of how Mike Trout is kind of stuck there right now, and it doesn't seem that they're going anywhere. You know, I kind of wonder, You know, if he does he get traded this year, do you think, or in the near future? I mean, they'd have to get the Kings ransom for that kind of player because he's a once in a generation type of guy.
Yeah, as I was saying before the break, I think he's going to be on the move this year. Interesting enough, I think there is a team right now who can do it, a team that most people who are MLB fans are not super supportive of, and that's the New York Yankees. I know that
I know.
So let me just give you a little bit of the reasoning behind it, because free agency is coming large for the Yankees soon. Their massive contracts are leaving. There's no Teixeira, no A-Rod. Derek Jeter's gone. That whole...
Just named a bunch of bums. They haven't been good in 5 years.
But they were sucking up a bunch of the contracts that the Yankees are known to giving out, and it's time to reload. And I know Jose Fernandez was going to be up for a massive contract deal. Rest in peace to him. He was the number one target for the Yankees to make their new ace. But other people who are coming up contract-wise is Bryce Harper. We obviously know just did an arbitration. He has 1 year left. And then there's the reports that he's going to be a $500 million man in New York. But before that point, Xander, I know you followed baseball obviously this past season because you're an expert in everything. The Cubs gave a lot of prospects to the Yankees. And those prospects, although they are going to be fantastic when they hit the league, they still need some time. Why not offer those prospects and some draft choices for Mike Trout? I think he could be a Yankee midway through the season.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's interesting because, you know, the Angels, I think they're probably better off going into the rebuild mode than trying to win because they're really not even close. They're not even like a guy or two away. They're a lot more than that. The Yankees, however, very interesting because, you know, more than Mike Trout, though, I think the Yanks need some pitching. I mean, they're very lackluster on the pitching, and Mike Trout is great, but, you know, you got a very old CeCe Sabathia who is nothing like what he used to be. You got a Nathan Eovaldi who throws 98, but, you know, can't seem to get it down. And also another hard thrower, Luis Severino, who had a really brutal year last year. So, I mean, I think how these young Yankee pitchers develop is going to be key to their playoff success. I mean, you saw what Gabby Sanchez did last year. You know, was probably the best hitter in the league since he came into it for those last 30 or 40 games. And Mike Trout is interesting, but I don't really see him becoming a Yankee. I haven't really thought about what team he might go to, but I don't think it's going to be the Yankees. I think Bryce Harper has a much better chance of being a Yankee, but it'll be interesting to see, you know, where Harper goes. You know, what are teams going to be able to offer him? You know, does he want to go to a winning team? Does he want to go to a mediocre team? Because I would probably put the Yankees, I'd put them as a mediocre team right now. You know, they were six games over last year, you know, and they almost made it through. I mean, I counted them out, I think, a couple months left in the season, and they're playing in a very tough division. And hung around. But they just weren't good enough down the stretch, and I think a lot of that had to do with the pitching.
Mediocre team with a lot of money, Xander, and that right field porch that is just sitting there calling Bryce Harper's name is absolutely the reason he's attracted to go to the Yankees. I think he leaves the Nationals after this year, which is a little sad because I think the Nationals are in a better place than the Yankees are right now, but money changes, of course, all of that, and maybe a Mike Trout trade, like I was saying.
The Nationals cursed themselves when they sat Steven Strasburg out of that postseason like 4 or 5 years ago. That was the start of the end.
Well, that's actually a great point in leading me into another team I kind of want to discuss with you a little bit. So what about those Mets? Matt Harvey, hopefully he's going to be back, isn't going to miss an entire season. Syndergaard is there. DeGrom is there. That pitching staff was one of the scariest things I've ever seen in that postseason 2 years ago with the Cubs. So, Witts, are they back?
You know, This is another one. I'm going to say they are back. You know, I hate pussyfooting around. I've been doing that the last couple of teams. But I remember before preseason last year, I was talking with Bubba. Ben Bubba used to be a regular on the show. And, you know, we talked about the Mets, you know, possibly having the best rotation in the league. But the key would be, you know, can they stay healthy? And you saw last year, here's some inning totals. Jacob DeGrom, 148. Steven Matz, 132. Matt Harvey, 92 innings. I mean, you're basically giving me three out of their top four pitchers did not pitch the entire year, and you had Noah Syndergaard, who established himself, I think, as one of the top pitchers in the league. But, I mean, these other three guys are great, but they could not stay healthy. They could not get into a rhythm. And the saddest case was Matt Harvey. I mean, that was hard to watch as a guy who had pitched so well the last few years and was really a gamer. I'm a huge admirer of Matt Harvey's game, but it seemed that not only was he having problems in his head, you know, that kind of curtailed into an arm problem, and it was just a bad scene. But I'm hoping that the time off has given these guys, you know, new life, because this Mets team, with those four guys at the top of your rotation, and, you know, he's not there anymore, but Bartolo Colon, I mean, he's probably one of the best fifth starters in the league. So I'm going to say that the Mets are back. I think they're going to compete very heavily with the Nationals for that NL East crown this year. And I think it'll basically be a two-team race like it was last year. And the Mets, if you're going to tell me they would win the World Series, I would not call you crazy.
That's fair. I just think it's crazy that you think anybody's going to beat the Cubs for the World Series title. But on another note, we know there's another Chicago team that you're a huge fan of. I know you split your time with the Cubs and the White Sox. So tell me about these White Sox, who have dropped majorly in the power rankings. I know they've been making trades left and right for these nice young prospects. Are they in old Cubs mode? Are they going to be the Cubs of the maybe 2020s? So let me know.
That's exactly. I'm a fan of the Sox. And anybody who says that you're from Chicago and can only pick one team, I think you're full of shit. I'm definitely more of a Cubs fan, but I do cheer for the Sox because they're from Chicago, and I'm from Chicago as well. So, you know what? The Sox, they're into rebuilding mode, and I thought they had a great offseason. The guys that they acquired, you know, Yoan Moncada, you know, one of the best prospects in the league. Kopech, one of the best pitching prospects in the league. So they're going in the right direction, and they chose to sell, I think, at the right time. I would have liked to see it a little bit earlier. You know, I thought they could have done it midway through last season, but they chose not to. But this team is not going to be good for the foreseeable future. But, you know, the Cubs weren't supposed to be good until about 2018 or 2019, and we're sitting here in 2017, and they won a World Series. So maybe the Sox can kind of catapult their way up, you know, this rebuilding process like the Cubs did. But, you know, I'm not, you know, putting any eggs in the basket. I think 2020 is a reasonable year that we could see them back in the playoff race. They still got Jose Quintana, who I think, you know, is going to be a valuable piece that a lot of playoff teams in playoff contention are going to be all over him, you know, come deadline time. I mean, he was great last year. He was a great number two starter. And Todd Frazier is another guy who, you know, is a big bat. I know he hit about, you know, 200 last year, but he did hit almost 40 home runs. So when you look at those power numbers, teams that are in playoff contention that are one big bat short are going to have a lot of money to spend on a guy like Todd Frazier. So those are two key pieces that I'm looking at they could get rid of during the season, you know, before the deadline. And, you know, a few years down the road, they develop some young pitching. We could see the Sox back contending for the AL Central. I mean, I think the Royals are going the wrong way. I think the Tigers are going the wrong way. I know they had a hot end of last year, but, you know, guys like Miggy, guys like Victor Martinez, they're not going to be there forever. I mean, Miggy is the greatest hitter I've ever seen, but you know what? He's getting old, and Victor Martinez is also getting old, and, you know, the injuries start to creep up, and I love J.D. Martinez. I think he's a great ball player, and guys like Justin Upton, I think the Tigers are a team. I wouldn't be surprised if they won, you know, 65 or 70 games this year. They could surprise, they could shock some people, but I think this division is a lot more up for grabs than people think, and I don't think the Sox are going to grab it this year, but down the road in a few years, I think the Sox could be like what the Cubs are to the NL Central.
Absolutely. Well, that's all the time we have this segment. You know where we are. We're at libertytalk.fm. We are the Sporting Edge. This is Roz and Witch. Remember to contact us on Twitter at RozForRoz or at ZandyBoy13. We'll be back next segment. Thank you guys very much.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and put you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
What's up, everybody? We're back here at the Sporting Edge, and you know what? I got a little carried away last segment talking about the White Sox. They're getting me all excited. Completely forgot about the Cleveland Indians being in the AL Central, but it's all right. I think a few years from now, all the pieces on the Indians aren't going to be there, and I think this could be a two-team race. I'm not going to say the Sox are going to be clearly the best team in the division. I think this could be a good two-team race, though, talking 2020, 2021 between the Indians and the White Sox. And we're going to get into a little college basketball, Roz, but first I want to introduce my pick to click for the MLB season. I'm going to take one player who is going to have a great year, a comeback year, and is going to help his team to a possible World Series trophy. And that guy for me is Pablo Sandoval, the Panda of the Boston Red Sox. Sandoval came over to Boston on an enormous deal and was quickly ousted from the starting lineup by Travis Shaw, a guy who had a great year for the Red Sox last year. But here's one thing about the Red Sox. They don't have the most powerful left-handed bat in the league anymore in David Ortiz. There's going to be a guy who's got to step up for the Red Sox, and I honestly think that the switch-hitting Pablo Sandoval can be that guy. He's gotten into much better shape, and this is a guy, you know, came over and was awful for the Red Sox, and that's the reason he got benched. But this is a guy who hit 3 home runs in a World Series game for the Giants not too long ago, and this is a guy who has shown that he can hit the baseball, and I know he can do it again. I mean, this Red Sox lineup is going to be so potent and powerful. He's going to have a lot of protection. I think final line for the year, I'm going to say 305 with 30 home runs. That's my pick to click for this year. He's going to go a long way in helping this Red Sox team possibly win a World Series, which is definitely in the question for them.
And your pick to click, I'm changing to a pick to flick. I'm making a little joke here. I think that we're looking at the bottom of the teams earlier in the last two segments. How about pick to flick the Oakland Athletics and our boy Moneyball? I am willing, to all the listeners out there, I'm willing to produce, direct, and create the next film called Bankrupt Ball. And that'll host our Moneyball cast. We'll get Jonah Hill back on it. And we're going to have them sitting in a room watching the parade on that little TV that they were watching it on in the film. So I'm taking quick jabs, quick shots. I think Theo Epstein needs the credit and should have been in the Moneyball movie. They should have just made it about his life. All the sabermetric stuff that was going on in that film, I'm sure Theo figured out a better way to do it. So that's my pick to flick. Let's find a producer. Let's get this made. And that's our baseball for today. We're going to get back into college basketball right now. It's wild. It's crazy. We're getting closer and closer. About 6 games left for each team out there before we hit the big conference tournaments. And Xander, I've got some bad news. Do you want some of the bad news?
I would like to. I mean, maybe good news first if you have any, but
I have too much good news to put first ahead of this bad news.
Okay. Give me the bad news.
All right, here we go with the bad news. I want to apologize to all our listeners, and I need to tell you right now to avoid the Big 12. Avoid, avoid, whoa, avoid. No Big 12 anymore.
Baylor?
I got Baylor to where they needed to be. I got them right. No Kansas, no Baylor, no West Virginia, not even Oklahoma, who's the worst team in that conference. But what I have to say about that is I got Baylor where I needed to get them to. I'm a team player, Witz, and I like to make people better. So I got Baylor to the one line. They're the number one team in the country. I got them to the number two team in the country. And they're sitting number four. And the best part about it is they're going to drop again. But that's due to a loss this week to Texas Tech. If you guys saw that game, Baylor just never really came into their own, and they couldn't win that game. I know playing on the road is tough. I've said this in shows past, but it was brutal to watch. The Big 12 is one of the hardest conferences to watch play because there's nights they're going to come and play. There's nights they're just going to show why they can't compete against a strong scoring team coming out of the ACC or maybe even the Big 10. And Kansas, I know earlier in the week we all got to see that fantastic comeback. It's been comeback central this month, Xander. We had the comeback in the Super Bowl, and then we just had this 13-point, 3-minute left comeback from Kansas that they're regarding the best comeback in college basketball today. I just don't like this Big 12, Xander. I know Frank Mason in Kansas has been unbelievable as our Wooden Watch Player of the Year. but they beat the crap out of each other in this conference, and they don't make it look good. It's pretty ugly basketball, and I think when they come up to a team that is really good at scoring or a team that's defense is way more superior than that of the Big 12, I know we all think West Virginia has one of those outstanding defenses, but even them, they are just taking some beatings this conference season, and we can all say the conference season's tougher on people, but I'm telling you, sports listeners, avoid the Big 12. And let's talk a little Duke, Xander, because I said 9-1 when they were 9-1 without Coach K, no back. I said to put your money into Duke because I think that's the team that's going to surprise. And they've had a masterful week, Xander, beating UNC and Virginia.
Yeah, you know, Duke, they've been coming up. And, you know, they're 17-2 this season with Coach K on the sideline. So, you know, overall they're 21-5. But Coach K at the helm, they've been playing some great basketball as of late. I think, you know, the whole thing with Grayson Allen has calmed down a lot. I think he's finally, you know, developing his role on this team. You know, no news is good news with Grayson Allen. I mean, he's always been in the news for the wrong reasons, but this Duke team is, you know, very quickly marching up these rankings, and I would, you know, never be comfortable betting against a Coach K team. I mean, Duke is notorious for having a great program, and Coach K, they've always been there. You know, I know a couple years ago I had him going all the way, they got knocked out in the first round as a 3 seed. But for the most part, I mean, this team is solid. They play good basketball. And, Roz, you know, your point, you know, about the Kansas comeback and all that, that was really impressive by them. But, you know, they were getting their butts whipped by West Virginia. And I think one key difference that I think a lot of people forget about in the tournament is that these home court advantages aren't there anymore like they are in the regular season. I mean, they kept putting that statistic when Kansas was playing West Virginia about the decibel level and how they were almost at the point where it was like having a chainsaw up against your ear. I mean, that just doesn't happen in the NCAA tournament. So I think a lot of these home court advantages where these stadiums are absolutely like rocking the floor back and forth, you just won't see that. So I think, you know, the teams that are really superior, and like you mentioned, defense I think is a huge key, and the teams that are really battle tested will be the teams that are going to come out on top, because there is not going to be any, you know, home court Kansas games or home court, you know, Louisville, Kentucky, stuff like that. I mean, it's all neutral site. You know, basically best team wins. Teams that's, you know, gone through the most throughout the year is going to come away with a victory in tough spots. So I don't necessarily agree with you about the Big 12. I think these are still teams to watch out for, but I think that's kind of a reflection of the whole college basketball season. There is not one team that has stood out, you know, like that Kentucky team with Anthony Davis. They were clearly the number one team in the nation. You know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. But, you know, you look at Gonzaga. They're undefeated. You know, a lot of people are saying they play a weak schedule. They've had a lot of top 25 wins. You know, Villanova, Kansas, Baylor, Oregon. All these teams have had a lot of signature wins. They've also had some clunkers. I mean, you know, you look at Baylor. Got smoked by West Virginia. But West Virginia's gotten smoked. I mean, it's a whole back and forth. And I think this is a more interesting kind of tournament to me. Because I see about, I think, 12 or 13 teams that have a legitimate shot to win this thing. And, you know, that's discounting teams like Florida, Florida State, Wisconsin, who I really don't think they have a shot. But, you know, those are teams that could surprise come tournament time.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought up Wisconsin, because I watched that game two days ago when they played Michigan. And it was another brutal loss. It's tough. They've lost two in a row at home against Northwestern, which is actually exciting for me and you, Witch, because we'll get to see Northwestern go to the NCAA tournament for the first time ever. Northwestern played a tough game a couple days ago against Maryland and lost at home. But I think that just speaks to how good Maryland is. And that's, you said there's like 13 teams you think that could be really like top-notch contenders. And the only knock you have on this Maryland team, or anybody has on this Maryland team, is that they're so young and there's so many freshmen in the lineup. But with Melo Trimble, who is an experienced guard, I think he has an opportunity to lead these guys further and further into the tournament. And we bring back to the Wisconsin discussion. You're right. Wisconsin's kind of taken a dip, and it's easy to just say, like, let's rule Wisconsin out. And there's many commentators who are doing that. You might be on the side of that. So they're going to fall out of the top 15, and we mentioned Duke will probably hop up into that top 10 spot. But Wisconsin, you have to be careful, because we have to see how they do during the conference tournament and where they're going to finish off this season. Because I think Wisconsin is still that dangerous team. Like, nobody's talking about Nigel Hayes anymore. Bronson Koenig's a little bit hurt. He'll be healthy, hopefully, in time for the tournament. And Ethan Happ is really just an excellent post player that is being double-teamed recently, and they're going to figure that out. They have a great coach there who will draw up new packages to make sure that Ethan Happ gets open and to make sure that other players on the court are getting open as well. I know that Zach Showalter entered the game, got two fouls and had 0 points in like a 3 minute span and was on the bench. And that takes away a shooter from that Wisconsin team. And this Wisconsin team's going to shoot the ball. So like most shooting teams, you get a little worried because if they're cold, they're not going to win that game. Wisconsin's a little bit different because their defense slows down everything and provides the opportunity to find that shooter's touch throughout the course of the game. They are down right now. I wouldn't rule them out, Xander, of like your 14 to 15 teams that could possibly win it all. I still think they have the opportunity. And that just leads me to saying that I just ripped the Big 12. You didn't necessarily agree. But if there was two conferences that I was confident a team was coming from, it would be the Big 10 and the Pac-12. And we'll see how that goes come tournament time. But that's all the time we have this segment here at the Sporting Edge. You know where to find us. We're at libertytalk.fm. This is Wits and Roz, and we'll be excited to come back next segment.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Last segment here of the Sporting Edge, and I think we got to talk a little NBA, Roz. But before that, I do have a rant this week. You know, I've been fuming for the last 2 days. And it's kind of funny because this is against my hometown Chicago Bulls. But for any of you guys who saw that game a couple days ago against the Celtics were up by 1 point. Jimmy Butler had the ball. Marcus Smart was guarding him. Butler did a spin move, a nice spin move, went up for a shot, missed it. Game was over. And then we had a foul call on Marcus Smart. You know what? NBA refs, put your whistle in your pockets and let's go home. The Celtics should have won this game. Marcus Smart, I don't think, you know, maybe the tip of his fingernail touched Jimmy Butler's elbow, did not interfere with that shot at all, and it was absolutely terrible to see a team like the Celtics lose that game because a ref had to call a foul that didn't exist. It did not exist at all. That was great defense by Marcus Smart, guarding one of the most prolific scorers in the league in crunch time, and you're going to call that foul? That was absolute crap. I'm still upset about it. Even though I am a Bulls fan, just from a sports perspective, refs, put the whistle in the pocket. Stop deciding the game. People aren't there to watch you call foul. They're there to see people like Jimmy Butler chuck up last-second shots. Maybe they make them, maybe they don't, but great defense by Marcus Smart. And the Celtics, a game, a very important game for them, as they're trying to get that number one seed in the Eastern Conference. This was inexcusable by the refs. I think everybody knows they missed the call. It's just upsetting to see a game like that comes down to the wire. Guy puts up a last-second shot, and he missed. That's it. Let's go home. Celtics win the game. But had to call that foul, and, you know, Jimmy Butler, those are two clutch free throws. I can't take anything away from him because, you know, he's not the one who called the foul. He just chucked up the shot. But great defense by Marcus Smart. You know, just makes me shake my head. You know, refs, put the whistle in the pocket. Let's move on. That's my rant for today.
Wow. I feel like we need Michael Buffer for that now because we have you obviously in the Wits' corner, as that's the segment we just ran through. But I want to hear him yell, and now in the red corner, the referees of the NBA. And I kind of want to hear a good like intro coming from him. So hopefully we get Michael Buffer on the show before we do another Wits' rant or Wits' corner. Apologize for that. Yeah, that's it's the way it goes sometimes. It's an NBA regular season game, so I'm happy that you're taking care of that for me because, like
well,
I said,
I mean, with no football, what am I doing during the week now? I have to, I'm forced to watch the NBA.
That's completely fair, and maybe I'll hop on your bandwagon. I'll pick a random team, maybe the Timberwolves. Just root for them to have a nice little comeback for the second half of the season. But we are talking NBA. We're back with the All-Star break coming in. We had last night the International versus U.S. Rookie Challenge basketball game. Nobody watched. And then today,
not including myself.
There we go. And tomorrow we've got the NBA, almost at finals because that's how much I only care about that. We have the NBA All-Star game that's still not going to have Westbrook as the starter, Xander. And I think we had a rant about that a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, but right about now. But no Westbrook in the starting lineup. Maybe I don't watch until he subs in. So I'll put a notification on my phone. What do you think about that?
You know what? I've got a better idea. Just don't watch at all. you know, NBA All-Star game isn't bad. It's basketball is a kind of a more exciting sport for the All-Star game, I think, because you can kind of showcase some of these guys' insane talents. Unlike the Pro Bowl, it's just not the same. And obviously, I think the MLB All-Star game is the best because that's the game that's closest to real life standards. But, you know, NBA All-Star game, it has some cool moments. I mean, guys throwing up some insane dunks. You can really see the athleticism of some of these great players. But for the most part, not really interested in it. Game means nothing, and both teams don't try. So for me, it's let's get back to regular season. As boring as the regular season is, I think it's more interesting than the All-Star game.
Yeah, it's another dunk contest. It's the dunk contest that we all wish we could see because LeBron James is actually participating in the All-Star game. So I think, like you said, I might watch a little bit of it because I'll probably throw the over on the total points for the game.
Life's too short to bet the under.
Especially, although, we have to be careful. Stay woke because the NFL Pro Bowl went way under. There was not a lot of scoring in that game. So could we see maybe a 77-76 NBA All-Star game? I know I'm totally ludicrous when I say that because that's going to be the score of the first half. So I would tell you to go over. Definitely bet first half over. That's never wrong. I know I can never really say that that's not professional. But I would tell you to take those two and enjoy who you're seeing. I'm a little disappointed also because Dwayne Wade's not in it anymore. I guess I just have to come to terms with that part of my life that Dwayne Wade, Derek Jeter, and Brett Favre are not on the field or court as much as I would still love them to be. But we got the NBA All-Star. Xander, how do you think you do in the three-point contest? And you're going up against guys like Klay Thompson. You got Damian Lillard in there. Like, are you throwing up some threes?
I mean, I can barely make a layup on a good day, so I think I could probably hit 2 or 3 out of 30. If I got hot, maybe 5, but basketball is not my thing. I've got very little touch. Great rebounder, just about, 6 or 7 inches too short. So, I played in 8th grade, and that was about it.
Well, they have a skills competition, Xander, and I know the skills competition is tough because it's a lot of dribbling, passing, but they have Anthony Davis, and they have Karl-Anthony Towns. And
Davis used to be a point guard, so I mean he should be pretty good at all that stuff.
I know, but maybe they throw a rebound category in there for you. You get some rebounds.
Yeah, I like to think of myself as a poor man's DeJuan Blair, who is a poor man's Charles Barkley. So I'm a poor man's Charles Barkley with no offensive game and zero defensive ability. So I'm basically just a rebounder.
What about with a trampoline? Do you think you could enter the dunk contest?
Honestly, no. I don't think I'm coordinated enough. I could dunk. I mean, I've always wanted to dunk. I touched the rim once before, so some would say I'm close, but I'm really not. I'm still about a foot away.
I would say I would be one of those people to say you're not close. I'm sorry. I've watched you play.
I know. I don't fool myself with my basketball ability. But
what about me though?
Even with a trampoline, I don't.
Think what do you think about me though? Be honest.
I think you have a much better chance than I do because you can.
I look like a dunk,
but.
I look like a poor man Zach Levine. Poor man Zach Levine, right?
Yeah, I think you need to be able to dunk first before you call yourself a poor man Zach Levine.
I mean, we said with the trampoline, and I almost don't need the trampoline. I know you've seen me. There's one time in my life, and only one person ever saw it, so this sounds like the fable case that I'm making up something. I dunked a girls' basketball once, Xander. I put it through the rim.
Really?
I did.
I guess I wasn't that one person.
You weren't.
I don't believe you.
You were not that one person, so you can believe in the fairy tale, which is actual truth or not. But I think this, again, the dunk contest, this is a minor rant, something just gets under my skin. Is the dunk contest was cool for our parents and the generation before us. They got the best of the best competing. I mean, I would have even loved to see Vince Carter. I mean, 2002, we are cognizant and probably could have been able to remember some of the stuff. But all I know is these days I'm getting Nate Robinson dunking over Dwight Howard and Zach LaVine tearing ACLs a year after he won the NBA dunk title. I don't see any names like LeBron James or I guess Kobe's not in the league anymore. But I would have loved to see if Kobe could fly a little bit. But the other day we had Giannis Antetokounmpo slam a ball down from the free throw line after taking only one dribble after getting across the half court line. Why isn't he in the dunk contest? Why not show us something we've never seen before? Not Blake Griffin jumping over a Kia, which I just do for fun. I mean, we're not watching the Dukes of Hazzard here. We're watching an NBA dunk contest. So him sliding over that front lid of the car was nothing special to me. But give me a Giannis. Give me a Giannis versus a LeBron James Xander. How about that?
Yeah, I would love to see Giannis in the dunk contest. I mean, he is truly, I think, probably the freakiest athlete in the league. I mean that in a good way. Just so lengthy, and he seems like he could get even better. I mean, the guy's still very young, but, I mean, he's a guy who could end up averaging a triple-double, I think. I mean, he's got that kind of skill. But, Roz, to your point of, like, the dunk contest and not having these big guys in there in general, I think the NBA has lost a little bit of its luster. I mean, whenever I watch an NBA game, they're always playing music, like, during the game now. Like, when they're coming up the court, they're doing the chants, the softball chants. you know, coming from the mic system. And I'm just like, you know what, this isn't as serious anymore. I know it's the regular season, but the NBA for me is just not, it's not as cool of a league as it used to be.
And just like the NBA is gone, unfortunately, we have to be gone this week. Thank you so much for everybody for tuning in. This is The Sporting Edge with Witz and Roz. Tweet us, please, so we can get your segments out there on the show. We're at libertytalk.fm, and have a great, great week.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.